to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Good morning. Joining us is Bruce Klingner. He is a former CIA Deputy Division Chief for Korea. He's also Senior Research Fellow for Northeast Asia at the Heritage Foundation's Asian Studies Center. Bruce, good morning. Happy Friday and welcome to Mornings on the Mall. Bruce there?
Yeah, hi.
Hi, Bruce. There you are. Bruce, I want to play something for you and get your reaction to it. This is President Trump announcing something that happened yesterday, an executive order and a response by China.
And I'm very proud to tell you that, as you may have just heard moments ago, China, their central bank, has told their other banks, that's a massive banking system, to immediately stop doing business with North Korea. It's just happened. It's just reported.
So, first of all, how important is that, number one? But number two, can we trust China to actually live up to it?
Well, that announcement by China, as well as the U.S.'s new executive order issued yesterday, really are both potentially significant. But the fact is it requires a very strong implementation for both of them to go beyond potential to becoming significant. So China in the past has talked tough about putting sanctions or implementing required UN sanctions against North Korea. And then we've seen that the implementation of it has been sort of weak and sporadic. But that announcement is very significant in that if the Chinese banks really do stop doing business with North Korea, along with yesterday's executive order by the U.S., it could have, a significant impact on the North Korean regime's finances.
And do you think that China will live up to that?
They have become more and more angered at their ally, North Korea. We've seen over the years they've allowed incrementally stronger UN resolutions, though never as strong as the U.S. and its allies would like. I think China was motivated by sort of the growing momentum in the U.S. for more fully enforcing U.S. law. We've really been pulling our punches on a number of sanctions, contrary to sort of misperceptions that North Korea is the most heavily sanctioned country, which it's not. But really, in the U.S., we've seen, particularly by Congress, a push for secondary sanctions to go against Chinese banks and businesses that are violating U.S. law by misusing their access to the U.S. financial system. So I think China may have done this action as a way of trying to derail the train coming down the track of U.S. either imposing significant fines on big Chinese banks or designating some of the medium and small banks as money laundering concerns.
You know, Bruce, this morning it seems that North Korea is very frazzled by the events of this week, but especially the president's speech before the UN and those sanctions announced yesterday, Kim Jong-un saying that the president is a mentally deranged U.S. dotard, President Trump responding this morning that in turn, Kim is obviously a madman who doesn't mind starving or killing his people and will be tested like never before. This seems like just a lot of hot rhetoric that's been going back and forth between both leaders. Do you see this ebbing soon?
No, I think it's going to continue to grow. You know, the rhetoric has seemed at times sort of like two guys in a bar saying, "Here, hold my beer," you know, and then moving around each other as if preparing for a fight, but sort of hoping someone will stop it. But the comments by Kim Jong-un this week are a bit unusual in that they are personal. They're saying, "I'm going to do this. I will respond." usually it's the North Korean government or the sort of the propaganda ministry that would respond. And so North Korea's rhetoric has always been very over the top and in sort of their colorful language of insults. But having Kim Jong-un sort of taken on personally for comments that really weren't all that personal, for, I mean, Trump called him Rocket Man. I mean, it's not too bad. But I think even more concerning is North Korea's foreign minister saying that they might respond by testing a hydrogen bomb in the Pacific Ocean. He said it could be the most powerful detonation of an H-bomb in the Pacific. But then they said, we have no idea about what actions could be taken, but you know they may do that. So that's worrisome if they're doing H-bomb testing outside of their own borders.
I mean, you'd think a country that's in such close proximity to China testing H-bombs would compel China to be a little more active than just, say, some gentle banking sanctions, right? I mean, at some point you'd think China would want to get more involved.
Right, but the relationship between North Korea and China has been deteriorating for a number of years. Even during the heyday of Kim Il-sung, who was the first leader of North Korea and the grandfather of the current leader, North Korea played off the Soviet Union against China so that neither of the two big countries had as much influence over little North Korea as you would expect. But China has also been reluctant to really increase pressure on North Korea because they fear it could cause a crisis right on their border. So either an explosion of North Korea lashing out or an implosion of regime instability, regime collapse, perhaps loss of control of nuclear weapons, civil war. So they're always reluctant to go, too far, whereas the U.S. always feels like, they're not going far enough.
Is there a silver lining here for the relationship between China and the U.S.? Has the relationship between our two countries improved over this North Korea exchange?
Well, it's been kind of up and down. The president has kind of flip-flopped a number of times on his views of Chinese policy towards the North. He's been sort of very tough on them. And then after the Mar-a-Lago summit in, I believe it was March, seemed to be, I thought, naively soft on China. And then he realized they weren't doing what he wanted. So it's gone back and forth. If they carry through on actions, then I think the relationship will be better. But, of course, there's a lot of different issues beyond North Korea that have been irritants in the relationship between Washington and Beijing.
Lastly, where is Russia in all this?
Russia, surprisingly for such a large country that borders the Pacific Ocean, has not been much of a player over the years on Korean issues. They even share a small border with North Korea. They tend to be sort of a spoiler. They'll do what China does, but usually, in China's shadow. So Beijing, along with Moscow, have been acting like North Korea's lawyer in the UN Security Council, always demanding weaker resolutions. But lately, Putin has been a bit more involved. It seems like Russia may be helping North Korea bypass the enforcement of UN sanctions. Perhaps Russia is sort of sneaking oil into North Korea that in the past was sort of seemed to be China's role.
Interesting. Well, Bruce Klingner, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate your time, and you have a fantastic weekend.
Well, thanks very much.
That's Bruce Klingner with the Heritage Foundation's Asian Studies Center.